We're about to listen now together to God's word. And what we're going to learn this morning is why it's important how we all listen to that word. It's very important how we all listen to God's word. If you were here last week, you might remember that we asked the question, what kind of hearer are you? What kind of hearer are you? We looked together at the parable of the sower, the farmer who went into the field and threw the seed into four different sorts of soil, the pathway, on the stony ground, on the thorny ground, and into good soil. Four different types of soil and four different results. And the greatest result was when it fell in the good soil. 30, 60, 100 fold. And Jesus was there teaching what happens when his word is sown into the hearts of men, women and young people. There's very different responses. And so last week we faced the question, what kind of hearer are you? And today we move on to examine the kind of listener that we all need to be. This morning. Because what we're going to see is that how we listen determines whether we lose or use the benefit of what is being said. There'll be an opportunity here this morning either to lose or to use the benefit of God's word. It's very important how we listen. Mark has been emphasizing that people have been listening to the in emphasizing that Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus once said, for this very purpose I've come forth. I've come forward to preach. And that's how this chapter begins. He began to teach the crowd. He taught them many things. He said to them in his teaching. He taught them many things. And we went on as far as verse 33 this morning, because there we read, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them. What was he doing? He was speaking the word, which God. And as that word was spoken, many heard, but the effect, as we've seen, was very varied. And so Jesus comes on to teach us that there is a direct link between the way we listen and the benefit we fail to receive. There's a direct link this morning between the way in which we listen and the benefit we enjoy or the benefit we fail to receive. And I want simply to look at three things this morning. The first is this. The glorious word that is to be heard. Listen. Jesus begins these verses at verse 21 with a parable, really, again. The parable of the lamp. And he begins by asking two questions. And you can almost imagine the first question being asked in a primary school assembly, and the answer that the children would give is a very simple question. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? And you can imagine the children, can't you? Hands up. No, that's ridiculous. Of course a lamp isn't brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed. That's not what it's brought in for at all. That's not the purpose of a lamp. You can see them all, can't you? Eager to answer the question. Well, the lamp Jesus was referring to may have been a small clay pot with a spout, a little like our teapots today, filled with oil and a wick. Or it might have been an open lamp, maybe like a candlestick. But I'm sure you can picture it well this morning. The lamp would have been lit and brought into a dark room with the purpose of giving light, dispelling the darkness. When brought into that dark room, it wasn't then shoved under a basket or under a bed. If that happened, its light would be hidden and the flame may even be extinguished. That would defeat the purpose. That's a stupid thing to do with a lamp. Today, we wouldn't turn on a light in a dark room and then cover it with a blanket so that its effect was null and void. It's just ridiculous, not to say dangerous. The second question Jesus asks is, isn't it brought in to be set upon a lampstand? And of course, she answers, yeah, that's of course it is. That's exactly why it's brought in. The lamp is to be put on a lampstand. You're to give it some height so that its light can spread out over a large area, giving maximum benefit, maximum light. That's the very purpose of which you bring in the lamp. You see, what Jesus is addressing here is purpose. What's the purpose of the lamp? Well, it's to shine. It's to give light. It's to reveal what's there so that you can see it. If ever you've had the experience of being in a cave or a cellar, a dark place, I mean, even your garage or your loft at home, and it's been dark, what do you fumble for? You fumble for the light. Because you want to see. You want light to shine. And the simple point being made by Jesus here is that the purposes of his words, the purpose of his teaching, the purpose of his preaching is to do nothing less than to bring light and truth. It's to shine a light into spiritual truth. The purpose of God's word and the preaching of it is to make spiritual truth known, that it shines forth. We could go even further. The real purpose of God's word and its preaching is to bring people to a knowledge of those great spiritual truths. We could go even further. The glorious purpose is that we might come to know God. And the one of whom he's spoken here, that we might come to know him and to walk in his ways. That's the purpose. What a magnificent purpose. A purpose for your life and for mine, that we might glorify God by enjoying him forever. That would be a reality in our lives, moment by moment, day after day. That's the purpose of God's word. To bring people to a knowledge of God, to enjoy him forever. So that's telling us the preciousness of his word. I wonder how thrilled you are this morning that God's word is being opened up and is being spoken from. I mean, I wonder how well you would listen this morning if the message was going to be about how to be successful or how to be beautiful. Or how to be powerful. Or this morning's lesson is about how to be wealthy. Or today we're going to look at how to be popular. If that was the message, would you regard the content of that message as so precious to you, such a treasure to you, that you would really listen attentively to every word that was being said? Well, the good news this morning is that God's word isn't about those things. Because those things, in the light of what God makes known in his word, pale into insignificance. They're fleeting things. They're shallow things. The content, the message of scripture brings to light is three things. It reveals to us, it makes known to us who God is and what he is like. Now surely you can see that there's nothing greater or more magnificent than to know what God is like and through that to come to know him. It's through his word that we know he's the eternal being, that he ever was and he ever will be forevermore. It's by his word that he makes himself known to us as the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. It's by his word that we know, though we worship one God this morning, yet he's in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These magnificent truths are revealed to us in God's word. It's how we know that he's a holy, holy, holy God. It's how we know that he's reliable because he's faithful. It's how we know that he's loving, that he loves those who don't deserve to be loved. It's how we know that he surveys all things and rules over every molecule in the entire universe. It's how we know that this invisible living God is pleased to treat a people in a way that they don't deserve, but according to his love and his grace and his mercy and his kindness. It's how we know this God is righteous in his being and in all of his ways, that he does all things well. We wouldn't know any of those things had he not made them known to us in his word. He's the God who gives to all life and breath and all things. This word makes known to you the living God. Secondly, it makes known to you the truth about mankind. I mean, have we evolved from the apes? Are we a random collection of molecules that has just marvellously come together? No, the Bible says that you are precious because God created you with a purpose. He created you with a purpose that you'd come to know him and to love him and to glorify him. That's why you're here on this earth, to get to know God. You've been made in his image and in his likeness. No other creature can say that in truth. But it's true of the human race, of every one of us here this morning. And yet, as that opening hymn reminded us, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our every faculty, our desires, our thoughts, our words, our actions, every one of them is marred by our rebellious hearts. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned each one to his or her own way. From conception, from birth, we are separated from the God who made us because of our sin. Because we won't have him to reign over us. And it's on account of that rebellion and sin that we face death and judgment. How wonderful that God warns us of these true realities. Created by God for his pleasure and delight, marred by sin, facing death and judgment and hell. But the third thing this word reveals to us is the wonderful way in which we can be reconciled to God. For having been his enemies from birth, we can be made into his friends. We can be brought into a living relationship with this God. We can come to know him just as we've come to know our family and our friends. And that's all because of what he has done by sending his eternal Son, Jesus Christ, who takes to himself flesh, frail flesh. God becomes a man while still being God. And he lives the life of perfect obedience, which was demanded of all of us, but we didn't. And then he lays down that perfect life as a sacrifice for the sins of others. The sins of others, the disobedience of others, are counted against the Lord Jesus Christ. And for love of the sinners, he dies in their place to take their punishment for what they have done in their sin. And therefore the message of the Bible is, repent and believe. Turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now you see, that can happen to you this morning. You can leave this place saved. You can enjoy personally the benefits being spoken of here in God's word. You see, through such kindness of God, millions and more have come to be born again, born spiritually. Millions have come to be united to Christ through their faith. They've come to be forgiven all of their sins. They've come to receive everlasting life. The certainty of going to heaven. Now what of you? It can happen to you even here this morning. You can join the believers who are waiting for Christ to return from heaven. more gripping subjects than we have just heard in the last 6 or 7 minutes. Surely these, you can see, are the things which really matter in life. The God who made us, from whom we've been separated, the way back to God from the pathway of sin through faith in the Lord Jesus. These are the things that Jesus spoke about. That's his message here in the opening chapters of Mark, that he himself is the promised kingdom of God. The kingdom is drawn near because he, the king, has drawn near. The long-promised king that was spoken of in the Old Testament has arrived on earth, and his name is Jesus. The mystery spoken of yet kept hidden until he arrived has now begun to be revealed. It's now coming to light, as we see in verse 22, where it's stated twice for emphasis. What is being revealed is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he to you this morning? Is he anything more than an interesting historical figure? Can you not see his uniqueness and his beauty, that because he's come to reveal the truth about God? Jesus is the truth, and he reveals that truth. He's the light of the world. Do you see? Do you see? How are you listening this morning? You see, we're still in our first point this morning, the glorious word. But there are three wonders here, aren't there, which we mustn't take for granted. That this word isn't the best thoughts and ideas of those who followed God. This is the word which God himself, we're told, breathed out. Such that the words that were written down were the very words that God himself had spoken. It's the means by which he makes himself known. He speaks. It's a living word. It's an active word. It's an authoritative word. It comes from God, from his throne. It's by this word that we know who God is. If you've come to know God for yourself this morning, if you've come to be born again, it's all because of his word. You've been born again of this imperishable seed, all through the spoken word of God. It's how you came to be saved. You came to hear that God had so loved the world that he sent Christ to turn aside his wrath against sin by shedding his precious blood there on Calvary's cross. And if you've come to know God, that's because you responded in repentance and in faith. You came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. And in him you've come to know the forgiveness of all of your sins. And it's by this word that your saving faith came. You were brought forth as a new creation by his word of truth. You were born again of the implanted and the incorruptible seed which lives and abides forever. We've taken over half of this morning's sermon just to focus on the glorious word. And it's a complete word which has made known all that you need to know for life and godliness. You don't need to look anywhere else. God says he's all here. He's spoken what needs to be spoken. It's all here in his word. And so secondly, and much more briefly, it barely needs preaching in a sense, does it? And yet it does. There's a vital response to be made. It's not simply sitting and enduring half an hour on a Sunday morning, is it? It's not even sitting there with your own theological tick box and making, oh yes, well, I'm glad he said that, and I'm glad he said that, and I'm glad he mentioned that, and oh yeah, well, I'm not sure about that. No, no. We're hearing the word of God. And it's vital that we make a response to his word. In all honesty, whose words do you most treasure? Whose words do you most listen to avidly? At times, I'm sure you'll enjoy the words of a famous poet, or a playwright, or a songwriter. Maybe some of you revere a head of state or a politician. Never miss Her Majesty the Queen's Christmas speech. Never miss a part of a political broadcast or conference speech. I'm sorry if that's the case, but it is with some people. Avidly hanging on every word. Maybe some hero or heroine from the world of sports. And from time to time you hear that they're on a tour with a journalist, narrating their famous stories of their lives or the key to their success. Maybe some of you wish you could have heard the words of Brian Clough and his success at Derby and Nottingham. Maybe some of you today would love to hear the words of Emma Raducanu, how she's grown up and been a tennis player, become the tennis player that she has. And however exceptional or gifted they might be, and they are, they're all merely in the end the words of a man or a woman. And Scripture is the word of the living God. We even learn that it's by his word that the heavens were made. And so it's our joy and it's our delight and it's our privilege to give these words primary place in our lives. Because it's no one less than God who is addressing us. God who is speaking to us. And so Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, just check you've got two there still this morning. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He's given you ears. There could be no greater purpose in his giving you ears that you would hear him and what he says to you. All the rubbish that we hear through the week. Yeah, we can start each week and each day by hearing God. With a hearing that recognizes that this word is a word of revelation from God. Lord, I recognize that you are speaking to me this morning. The eternal God has a word for me into my ear. Help me to listen. I've got ears. Help me to listen. A hearing that recognizes that this word reveals the truth about God. And it can bring me to a knowledge of him. I can come to be one of his children. I can be adopted into his family. I can come in from the outside. This is the means that he's chosen by which we can be saved. Coming to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I can listen in such a way this morning that I can come to enjoy all the benefits of Jesus. I can grow in my faith this morning through the hearing of God's word in a certain way. It's through listening to this word in a certain way and to believing this word and to putting this word into practice by faith that ordinary lives throughout the four corners of the world are being transformed this morning. Ordinary people who've come to know God personally, know the forgiveness of all of their sins, are brought into a living relationship with God. If anyone has ears to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. May we hear this morning. It's a glorious word. There's a vital response, and Jesus ends with a warning contrast. Here is a contrast that on the one hand warns, and on the other, motivates. He says two things. He says, take heed what you hear. Listen carefully. Listening is a constant theme of the scripture. It's something that God repeats to us time and time again. That itself tells us the struggles we must have in hearing. Hear the word of the Lord, we read. Hear, O Israel, he says. Hear his voice, we're told at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved son, hear him. And Jesus says this about his people. He says, my sheep, one thing which distinguishes my sheep is that they hear my voice. The sheep's on the lookout for the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus says, do you know my sheep? You can recognize my sheep. They hear my voice. Jesus tells us two facts about our with which we close this morning. Measure for measure is the first thing he says. Measure for measure. With the measure you use in your hearing, it will be measured to you. How you respond in faith or otherwise to God's word will determine in part the impact of that word upon your life. Jesus says to you who hear, to you who listen, to you who receive by faith, to you who apply, more will be given. More will be given. As you abound through faith in the means that is given to you, so he will abound to you in and through those means. As you abound in your faithful listening, so he will abound to you in the means of his word. As you abound in faithful listening, believing, obedience, so God will richly abound to you. Some of you 30, some of you 60. Some of you are 100-fold. Different capacities. But there's an enormous capacity there. We're to listen. Measure the measure. It's one of God's means. And the second thing he says by way of warning is this. There's no neutrality. We can't just sit on the fence and say, well, you know, I'm no better off or I'm no worse off after this morning. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Rather, there is potential both for either gain. It's one or the other. To some, more is given. To others, what they have is taken away. Is it? Or lose it. Jesus teaches us here there's a direct link between the way we listen and the benefit we enjoy or fail to receive. To him who has received the word by put it to good use by faith, more will be given, 30, 60, 100-fold. And whoever does not have, who's heard but not with faith, even what he has will be taken away. That's very sobering for us at this exact minute on a Sunday morning. There is potential right now both for gain and for loss. The more we spiritually absorb and digest the word of God by faith, the more our capacity to take in and understand God's word is increased. 30, 60, 100-fold. And if we listen without faith, then our capacity to listen and learn dwindles, and eventually it disappears. It's gone. It's a little bit like the exercise that the physio gives you, you know, to exercise a physical muscle. The more we exercise the muscle, the greater its capacity to do a little bit more. And the less we exercise the muscle, the more it wastes away through underuse or neglect. What Jesus is saying here is a truth well established in the Old Testament. give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Jesus closes these words with a warning, and with an enormous encouragement to listen. So this morning we've heard from God's glorious word. And each one of us will make a response to that. And the Bible tells us there's a vital response that we are to make, giving us a contrast that warns us what happens if we hear without faith, and tells us the glories that happen when we hear. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, we read of a people did not profit them. The word that they heard did not profit them. They heard it to no profit. Why not? The sentence goes on. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The tragedy is this morning that we can all hear without profit. We can hear without faith. We can hear the good news and die in our sins. This is the word of the Lord. This morning for you, a or tragic loss. Hearing it in faith results in a transformed life. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And as Jesus says, be careful how you hear.